Thank God for that today. To whom shall we go and to where can I go but to the Lord? Amen. Well, if you have your Bible today, I want you to actually turn over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, that prophet. Commentary said that Isaiah talked about the coming Savior more than any other Old Testament book. Kay Leonard has successfully helped myself and Sherry in the ladies' ministries, myself as administrative assistant secretary. A lot of you don't know that, but she's helped me for 14 years almost and made me look good in our paperwork and our announcements, our bulletins, and all of the things that we have done a lot of stuff here, and she's helped a lot with that. And I said that to say this, because the scripture that I want to read to you today is, by my memory, one of her favorite scriptures. And I thought of her yesterday all day when I was studying, when we had our Christmas banquet. Kay fell, broke her hip and her one of her legs and her bones in her leg. Fortunately, she's doing well, and she's actually sitting in the back office back there. Karen, her daughter, is being the mother now, and Karen is helping her mother get back to health. And I thought about this scripture a lot as I was preparing about Kay. So I don't dedicate messages to people, but I just wanted Kay to know that I thought about her a lot while I was studying yesterday. I want to preach to you today out of the book of Isaiah chapter 26. I want to read verse 1 through 4, and I know this is a lengthier chapter. There's only 21 verses there. I would never get through them. But Isaiah 26, 1 through 4, it says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. They will sing this song, 'We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks.'" Verse 2 says, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation, which keepeth the truth, may enter in." Verse 3 is the verse, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Verse 4 says, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Will you just stretch your hands this way and pray for me? Father, we just come before you this morning, God, in the name of Jesus, to love you and to honor you, to thank you, Father God. I just pray that you would take this simple message today and use it for your glory. Use it to your honor. Father, without you, God, I cannot do anything at all. And Father, I believe, God, you laid this message on my heart for somebody today. I didn't just pick it out just randomly, but Lord, I pray that your work would be done. Father, that you said in your word that your word would not return void. And Lord, I pray that I would articulate and I would be able to say exactly what you've put into my heart as I wrote, as I studied, as I, Father God, done what I thought I was supposed to do here today. Father, I love you and I honor you and I praise you and I thank you, God, for all that you've ever done. And we thank you in advance for what you're doing today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to just sort of share with you a little bit of this scripture, because today, in both messages today, this morning and tonight, it's going to be different messages, but yet I'm going to be talking about this topic all day today, the topic of peace. When I begin to think about this over the last few weeks, I don't know why the Lord has directed me in the way that he's directed me. But you can go in Galatians chapter 5, and you don't need to turn there right now, but you can look at it a little bit later. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, there's three opening words to those fruits of the Spirit that's found there. Last week we talked about one, week before we talked about one, and we want to talk about this today. And I didn't even plan this. It just kindly evolved into where I felt like God was directing me. A couple of weeks ago we talked about love. Last week we talked about joy and to rejoice. Today we want to talk about peace. Peace is a very important word. And we look around our world today and it seems like we have a situation today where we're barren of peace. It's almost like there's a destitute or a place in our world today where peace is not found. Yet all throughout the scripture we see that God said that you and I could have peace. Maybe you're under the sound of my voice today and you're actually saying, Pastor Green, I really wish I could have peace, and I don't know how to get peace, and I really do want peace. Now, I'm not going to tell on my mama, because my mama's my mama. But years ago, I didn't understand a lot of things as a youth and growing up. And, you know, somebody would ask my mama, Sherry knows this. She would ask my mother, Mom, what do you want for Christmas? She said, I just want peace. But as adults, we look at that today and we understand now, because we look at the world through a different set of eyes, if you will, and we see the discontent and the discord that's in our world today. In Judah's day, where Babylon had come down, and how that Judah had found themselves in a place where that peace was not found. Yet we begin to read this prophetic song that would be sung. And I'll get into this a little bit more as I walk through this. But this is actually a prophetic song that was to be sung. And when Isaiah penned the words here, it was a day that talked about a time when this particular psalm or this song would be sung. Isaiah, some 500 years prior to the New Testament as we have it today, is a time of writing as he wrote these words. We see this in verse number 1. And one of the wording, how the words are written there, he uses the words in that day to emphasize a day when the Messiah will have the ultimate triumph, if you will. A day when God's Messiah, Jesus Christ himself, will rule and reign over Israel and over all of the world as we know the world today. In that day, there will be lots of rejoicing. There will be lots of singing. And because we can see that at the fall of man, that man rendered that time that man knew with God, the time that man would go in the cool of the day and meet with God. But once Satan entered in, once the devil entered in, it became a place of chaos. It became a place where that God no longer had a city. He came down there with Adam and Eve in Eden in the cool of the day. But yet we know from reading the scripture that how that the serpent come and how that the enemy came and he beguiled Eve, and then Eve beguiled the man, and therefore we have the fall of man. But yet we see the scripture that said in that day. We can see that in that day when chaos entered in to humanity, that man lost his place with God. But in this day, it talks about a time when God will once again have his place back in the heart of man. From that day, confusion entered into the heart of humanity and the heart of man. And it robbed man of what God had intended, and that man no longer was able to live in peace with his Creator. You know, and I know how that the Bible said that Adam went and he hid himself in the garden, and God came back to the place where they had normally met. And the Lord said, Adam, where are you? And he was hiding over in the bushes. He was naked. Who said you were naked? That man had a consciousness about his sin. Man at that point had a consciousness about his separation from God at that point. But in this writing here, Isaiah began to writing these words in the 5th century of the city of Rome was conquered by less civilized tribes from the north in Europe, according to commentary. In the west, the mighty Roman army was no more, and many blamed the fall of Rome on Christianity. And this new religion, as she had officially embraced, if you will, in the last 100 years that Christianity had begun to grow, we can see that in this great time, confusion had settled in. We can see that one theologian, if you will, by the name of Augustine wrote that relationship between the fall and the contrast between the city of God and the city of heaven. He wrote about the city of man, this place where confusion was there in Rome, and how that even in Isaiah's day, how that he was able to see that total chaos had come to the city of salvation. And again, when the writer Isaiah knew, he knew where his strength had come from. He knew that the only place that he had to turn for peace was back to God. When we begin to see this in this particular writing where that Isaiah wrote this, he began to say that there would be a song that would be sung in the land of Judah. We begin to see this, and the song that they were singing is that we have a strong city. And he says that salvation will God appoint for the walls. And then he says in verse number 8, we see where he says, open ye gates, that righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. The Bible reminds us in the Psalms, open the gates. Lift up these gates, these everlasting gates, and the King of glory shall come in. May I submit unto you today, you might have walked into this room in an absolute mess. You might have walked into this room today, my friend, and your heart might have been tethered by the things of life. But I submit unto you today, if you will open up your heart unto God today, that I know that God once again will come into your heart, and you can find yourself filled with the joy of the Lord that becomes your strength. But at this time, they had seen destruction. At this time, they had seen of how the enemy had come and how the enemy had stolen away and robbed of Judah, if you will. But yet, he said that our city is a strong city. He said in verse number 2, that lift up these gates. My friend, when we begin to see this, we begin to think about what man done to this city. Oh, but my mind went way over in the book of Revelation. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not the John the Baptist, but it was another John. In the Revelation chapter number 21, we see in verse number 1 where the Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw that holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. When we think about verse number 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and shall be his, they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Look in verse 4. The Bible said, and God in that city, friend, in that city, God will wipe away all the tears from your eyes, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I want to say to somebody today, oh my friend, your weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen. That Jesus is getting ready to be the Prince of Peace, to rule and to reign, not only here, but over planet Earth today. John saw that eternal city. where the Bible says, if you begin to look in verse number 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said these words unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. My friend, there is a land beyond what we know right now. And my friend, the troubles of this life are temporary in Christ Jesus, because there's a land prepared for every child of God and every believer, my friend. And that land is a land that is filled with peace. And I want to go there. What about you? And he says, this is the promise. This is the promise in our text today. When you begin to look in verse number 3, this is what he says in Isaiah 26 and 3. And he says, thou will keep him in perfect peace. Well, I got to go back to the song for just a minute. Your world today might be rocking and a-reeling. Your world, you may be on the sea of life, if you will, and you may feel like that any moment your boat's going to sink. One preacher said, it may be okay if the boat's in the water. He said, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. It's another thing if the water's in the boat. And another thing today, you may be having water in your boat today, but I'm going to preach tonight on another part of this message tonight. But I'm going to tell you something, friend, and I'll go ahead and get in advance. I'll go ahead and get advance payment on tonight, if you will. I know the one that says, peace be still, if that's any hint where I'm going to go tonight. But he says, peace be still. And somebody said, well, preacher, I'd like to believe that. I'd like to believe that. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. The Bible says, and this is not in my notes anywhere, you can come look at them. But you can go back into the Psalms. I can't tell you exactly which psalm it is, but it says these words, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Once you've tasted of the good things of God, once you've experienced the good things of God, once you know who He is, once He's breathed peace over your troubled soul, how many times has the peace speaker had to slip into your bedroom at night, laying there and your mind going 100 miles an hour and you saying, oh, I wish I could just go to sleep. My God, and he walks in the room. Oh, and he just breathes upon you and he just puts a gentle word in your ear and he says, peace be still. I'm going to tell you today, the devil is a liar today. The devil come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And all of that worry, my friend, that you are filled with today, it's nothing but an attack of hell upon your life. I want you to say out loud, peace be still. Say it with me. Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. And God, my friend, the Bible said that God will keep him in perfect peace. I ain't just preaching this to find something to preach on Sunday morning. This is a very prophetic message to somebody here today. It is a message today that you're going to cling to. It is a message that you're going to walk out of here with today. And in the echoes of your mind this next week, you're going to remember that God said to be at peace. It may be me. It may be somebody in proximity of myself here this morning. But I believe that God is speaking directly to your heart today. And God says, that will keep him in perfect peace. When we begin to think about this word, we look at it all throughout the scripture. And we see this word peace and we understand where the Bible says that he will keep him in perfect peace. When we think about this, we think about what a wonderful promise from God the Father this is. He says perfect peace, complete peace, whole peace, God promises that we can have perfect peace. And we can be kept in that place of perfect peace. Not because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done. It's because of what He's already done. The Bible reminds us of that. And again, I'm going to walk through some more of that stuff a little bit later on. God promises that we can have perfect peace. And God says that we can be kept in a place of perfect peace. In the Hebrew, according to commentary in the Hebrew, the term perfect peace is actually a word that he's a double emphasis, and it's shalom, shalom. And it shows in the Hebrew repetition of how it communicates the intensity of what is being shared here. It isn't just shalom. It's shalom, shalom, perfect peace. And we think about that. One writer went on to say it like this. He said, what a privilege it is to live inside the double doors of God's love and care. Shalom, shalom. And in this peace, peace is the assurance that is peace, peace. If one assurance is not enough, he will follow it with a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. Because God wants you and I to be in perfect peace. I know this church a lot better than I used to know this church. I didn't just pick this message. It's what God told me. I know situations and I know things that people are going through in this church. This today is not a target for you. It's not a target for somebody to say, well, the preacher just knows what I'm going through. No, my friend, it's a word from heaven to a troubled heart today. It's a word from heaven that God sent me by here just long enough to tell you that God has seen your tears. Not only has God seen your tears, but God in heaven has heard your prayers. And God has been called 911 on your behalf. And God getting ready to dispatch angels on your behalf. He's got ruling warrior angels that's getting ready to come to your rescue. And the thing that troubled you when you walked in here will not trouble you when you leave, because the Prince of Peace has already stepped on the scene. Amen. That's Jesus today. That's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God today, my friend. Oh, hallelujah. Perfect peace. Perfect peace. And then we look here in the word of the Lord. And he says, when you look at this, some can have this perfect peace, yet often it seems so fleeting. And it's never kept. Others can be kept in peace, but it's not perfect peace. Oh my goodness. Peace. It is a peace that even the wicked may have a slight thread of peace. But my friend, they are in spiritual slumber. And you will ultimately, that type of peace will ultimately leave you. And once again, fall back into a state of confusion and chaos. But what God was saying in the song of Isaiah to the children of Israel, it is God and God alone that can keep you in perfect peace. Then he says, whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, I don't know about you, and I don't know if anybody in this room is like me. But I do know the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, and this is not written down, chapter 10, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the nature of God. Your mind is like a mini computer. Sometimes your mind's like a whirlwind. Sometimes your mind's like a tornado going around and around and around and around in your mind, and you can't shut it off. You say, preacher, you act like you know what you're talking about. Hello? Years ago, not to say nothing bad or out of the way, before I learned how to handle things a little better in my own life, I'd go to bed at night and there's this music that I would just put on my phone, and then I'd run my earphones over to my bed and I would just sit there and try to ease the tornado that was going on in my mind. So I know the anguish of it. I know the pain of it. I know what it feels like to have the enemy bombard your mind. But here's the thing. Y'all ready for this? This is not mind control. This is Holy Spirit control. The Bible said He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Fasten your little seat belts. It's going to get rough here for a minute. The devil is in too many Christians' head today. The devil has become a nuisance. The devil has found a lodging place to play havoc against the church and a child of God. Rather than you and I keeping our minds stayed on God, we fall into a state of confusion, a state of apathy, and a state of hopelessness and helplessness. Are y'all ready for this? This is the seatbelt. And we've accepted that. Who was it in the Bible? Somebody help me. Was it Samson that shook himself when he was tied between the gates of Gaza? Can I tell you, sometimes we just need to shake ourselves and come to our senses. And if God be for me, then who can be against me, or what can be against me? Look at your neighbor right now. Let's claim this. And you look at your neighbor and say, I'm a child of God, and the devil can't stop me. What did you just do, preacher? You're getting way out there, preacher, with this positive confession. I'm going to tell you something. Life and death is right here. I can speak defeat. I can speak failure. And Reva, there have been times I've had to repeat and tell myself, you're a child of God. You're a man of God. Kick myself in my own hind end and get myself straightened back up. That's okay, I do. Get myself straightened back out and quit believing the lie of the devil. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. There's several words in this that I picked up on when I began to look at this, and this is some of those words. Because he says, when you think about this, when you think about his mind that is stayed, what does that mean? When you look this up, it means that my mind is settled. And when you look at this, and you can look at this even in Psalm, and you don't need to turn there, but it says in Psalm 108, I think it's verse number 1, and it says that my heart is fixed. The Bible says in the book of James that a double-minded man is unestablished in all of his ways. And I want to tell you something, friend. We, the church, we need to put our stake in the ground. And we don't need to be wavering. We need to know that our God rules and our God reigns. We need to know in whom we have believed, and we don't need to waver on who we say God is. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto Thee, O Lord my God, my Redeemer. He says this in the Word. When you look at this, He says that my mind is stayed. You can look at this in the text. My mind is settled on Thee. That was their song. When you think about whose mind is stayed, means settled, and it means to be established upon. Recognizing and knowing that it is God and God alone that can do this. Perfect peace is a matter of person's mind. And again, It's not mind control, but it is a positive confession of what God's Word says. When we begin to look in the Scripture, Matthew 22 and 37, New Testament, when we begin to think about this in the Scripture, Matthew 22 and 37, it says it like this. When you see this in the Word of the Lord, He says, Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thine heart, and with all of thy soul, and with all of thy mind. Put your whole heart into it. Put your whole soul into it. But don't forget about your mind. When we think about this, We think about what Romans 12 says. I'm going to mention a few verses of scriptures. We're trying to wrap it up here in the next few minutes. The Bible says that he will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We know this scripture very, very well. Verse number 1, he opens it up and Paul was saying, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable, but it's reasonable. Verse 2 says this. When you look in verse number 2, when he opens it up, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Philippians 2 and 5, we'll look at that one really quick because it says the same thing in a different way. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13 talks about girding up the loins of our mind. The Christian life is not unthinking, an unthinking life of just doing or experiencing. But it is about our minds being stayed upon Him. We are to set our minds on Him. Again, Peter says to gird up the loins of our mind. We see this in the scripture. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up, pull it together. Hey, let me say it like this. Get yourself together. Pull it together. Be sober, be vigilant to the end of the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We look in Proverbs chapter number 3, one of my favorite verses of scripture in verse 5. And this is what he says, how is all of this going to happen, Pastor? It's a good preach. It's good words. But it ain't happening for me. It's not working for me. Somebody says it'll work if you work it. It may take some time. Now, we're going to talk about some stuff tonight. We're going to get into a different area of this. It may take a little bit of time. Jensen Franklin said it like this. He said, so often, he said, we live in a microwave world, but we serve a crock pot God. I think it was, Martha may have to help me, Amy Grant years ago, came out with that song, Trust and Obey. There's no other way. God's not Santa Claus, and sometimes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The things I went through, Brother West, in my experience has always turned back around later to be a teacher to me. And I fight my storms. I fight what I go through. I fight tooth and nail. God, I don't know why in the world. Later on through life, if I'm just patient with God and I just trust in Him with all of my heart and I lean not to my own understandings in all of my ways, acknowledge Him, He will direct my paths. And it just takes time sometimes. And we see this in the scripture about trusting. I'm going to skip over some things and I want to just kindly share something kindly comical with you. And Jody, let me get through this little part right here. The Bible says He is our peace. He's the foundation of Christianity. Our spiritual peace comes from only God and God alone. And we can't look anywhere else but look unto God. The book of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I came across a little story yesterday and I actually wrote it down so I wouldn't forget any of it. I could have probably remembered it all, but I wanted to share it with you pretty much verbatim as it was written. And it said, a man walks into a doctor's office for an examination. And the physician asked, now what seems to be your trouble? And the patient answered and said, Doc, I've got troubles. Everywhere I look, there's troubles. I've got troubles in my business. I've got troubles in my home. I've got troubles everywhere. And I'm just plain run down. When the examination was finished, the doctor said, sir, you're not run down. It's really just the opposite. He said, you're wound up. The man replied, well, doc, give me something to slow me down then. He said, what do you want? Asked the doctor. He said, give me a tranquilizer. Give me anything. Well, the doctor said, as he sat down, he began to write out the prescription. And he handed that prescription over to the man, and as quick as the man got up, the prescription hanging halfway out his pocket, he made a beeline to the pharmacy, handed the prescription off to the pharmacist. And he looked at it and replied to the desperate man in much need of care. He said, sir, I cannot feel your prescription. What do you mean? You can't fill my prescription. Well, are you not a pharmacist? Was it not written by the doctor? He said, yes. He said, but the pharmacist kindly and patiently looked at the man and said, sir, we don't stock what you need here. He said, you need to go home and get your Bible and the prescription read, go home and take 3 doses of Romans 5:1 3 times every day. So he went home and he read that Bible verse, and you can put it up there on the screen, verses 1 and 2. And that Bible verse says in Romans 5:1, this is what he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says, when you look at it, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But verse 1, when you look at that, it says that we have been justified by faith. And as a result of that justification by faith, we have peace with God. Immediately, the man called the doctor and said, what do you mean by giving me this kind of prescription? The physician answered, sir, your trouble is spiritual, it's not physical. What you need is peace. I cannot give that to you, sir. The pharmacist can't give it to you. As you stand with me this morning, he goes on to say, only God can give it to you. The peace that I'm talking about is a peace above all other. The only way that you and I can have peace is through Him who is the Prince of Peace. Peace is not an event. It's not a set of circumstances in and of itself. But peace can be found in Jesus Christ alone. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed in this room today, I know without shadow of a doubt who I'm talking to today in a lot of ways. You've entrusted your confidence to me as your pastor, and I have not went out and broadcasted your pain and broadcasted your troubles and broadcasted what you're going through. But I've got to do what God told me to do in this room today. If you're here today and you've never been saved, please come and give your heart to Jesus and meet the best friend you'll ever know that died upon the cross 2,000 years ago, so that you can have peace not only for today, but peace for all eternity. But if you're here today and you've been traveling a road, my friend, that's been pretty lonely, a road that's been pretty desperate, a road today that you've even contemplated things that you normally would not even contemplate, I want you to come here to this altar. You say, well, preacher, I don't want to be there by myself. You're not here by yourself, because I'm already here. And I promise you that there's going to be good people of God all around you this morning.